Hello and welcome to UK Carcast, the podcast by non-sport trading car collectors for non-sport trading car collectors. I'm your host Paul Bynes and this is episode 11, Torchwood Stars and Stick-On Kisses. Hello and welcome to episode 11, our San Diego Comic-Con special. Harris Tozer, production manager of Non-Sport Trading Magazine, was at the recent Comic-Con in San Diego and he came on to the podcast shortly afterwards to tell us all about it. This is a San Diego only episode, so there's no news, but normal service will be resumed in the next episode. So without further ado, here's Harris. It's Harris again. Harris Tozer is, of course, production manager of Non-Sport Update magazine, and he is our regular guest on Carcast.
The only one you can afford.
On the negative budget this podcast runs on, I'm amazed you come on. Harris was, I'm going to say, lucky enough, because I'm green with envy, to go to the San Diego Comic-Con last weekend, and he's come on, as is his wont, to talk about the show. So, Harris, San Diego.
Yes.
You got there again.
Yes, I did. I was lucky enough to get there.
You didn't bring me with you.
No. Sorry.
One of these days, I'm going to get there. There's a few traditions associated with the San Diego Comic-Con. A couple of those didn't happen this year, and we'll go on to talking about that a little later on in the episode. But one that did is, of course, the Non-Sport Update Car Talk Breakfast. That happened again this year, as usual, didn't it?
That's right, yeah. We've had maybe 5 or 6 of them now.
Just in case anybody isn't aware, how is that set up? You usually post an announcement on Car Talk saying we're going to be meeting up and anyone wants to join us can.
Right, yeah. We post an announcement a month or two before the show, and it's basically just a way for the members to get together and meet one another who, you know, these are members that might be talking online throughout the year and have never had a chance to meet each other. This is a chance for them to meet each other, and now we have a manufacturer component too. A lot of the manufacturers have come, and so they get to meet the manufacturers as well.
Yeah, there's sometimes a few little giveaway goodies to be found there.
That's right. Yep. That's right. We usually are lucky enough to get some of the manufacturers to give us a few things to give away to the members.
Who was at the breakfast this time around?
Well, this time Topps was there. We had the Topps Vault was there and Upper Deck was there. And we also had participation in the form of freebies and giveaways and things from several other companies.
Nobody left empty-handed, I suspect.
No. We had a giveaway for everyone, and we had prizes for all but just a few of the people.
Yeah. Is this the sort of thing where what's said at the breakfast stays at the breakfast, or were there any announcements made there that you can tell us about?
There were, I guess, a couple of announcements. Upper Deck was there, and they talked about their Igor trading cards that they'll be coming out with later in the year, and they actually had some uncut sheets of them for the members to take a look
at. Oh, right. The show itself proper, when did you hit the show?
Well, the show started on Wednesday night. Was preview night. They had a 3 or 3.5 hour preview night, which in the last few years has just been totally mobbed. It used to be a lot quieter, but not anymore. It's really just as congested as any other day at the show now. And then the show itself is Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
So something I don't think I've asked before, tickets for San Diego, do they have to be pre-booked or can you buy on the day?
Well, you used to be able to buy on the day, but the show has gotten so crowded that this is the first time that San Diego has actually sold out.
What sort of stuff did you see while you were wandering around?
There were 4 or 5 card companies there and probably 5, 6, or 7 card retailers there. In the way of card companies, of course, everybody always crowds around Inkworks. They're one of the mainstays. And Topps, of course. And Topps was there this year set up with the Topps Vault and WizKids all combined into one booth. Dunruss was there this year. They were actually part of the Score booth. And they had a major presence with their Americana cards. Artbox was there. They've become a presence the last several years at the show as well, and they were there in force. And Upper Deck was there. They generally promote a lot of their game cards, but this year, in addition to the game cards, they were also pushing the Marvel Masterpieces cards as well.
Which, of course, ties in with the variant issue of Non-Sport Update, which was available.
That's right, yes. They were selling the special variant issue of Non-Sport Update at their booth as they were handing out the promos. So yeah, Anybody that was there was able to buy the variant issue at their booth.
Did that do very well this year, do you know?
From what I understand, yes, it did. That's what Upper Deck has to say. They were very happy with the sales, especially on preview night. From what I understand, they moved really briskly on preview night.
The limited availability on that one probably helped that a bit, did it?
That's right. That's right. Yeah, and we actually still do have a few copies available for sale at the Nonsport Update website.
Oh, get a quick plug in there. Yeah,
yeah, got to do that. Anybody that didn't make the show can visit NSU and still purchase a copy. But from what I understand, Upper Deck is out of theirs.
I mentioned traditions earlier. Obviously, the breakfast is one, and the variant issue has become one now. And Artbox, they've become something of a presence over the recent years. One of their traditions is a big goodie bag that they sell at a special price, and it usually has some sort of show exclusives. Did you notice what they were doing this year?
Yeah, they had their goodie bag once again. This year it actually came in the form of a backpack, or I forget the term that you, the Brits use for a backpack.
No, we call them backpacks or rucksacks, that sort of thing.
Rucksacks, yeah. That's right, rucksacks. But anyway, they were selling a really nice rucksack for, I believe it was $80 this year, and it had a ton of stuff in it. Of course, a lot of the stuff that was in there was random, so you didn't know what you were getting.
Right.
But you could get way over your $80 price in goods in there. There was a couple of albums, I believe, and some insert cards and a few cards that were exclusive to the bags. And it was really, really good. They actually sold 500 of them, from what I understand, which is the amount that they made. It was all Harry Potter, I should say that, in the backpack. They put them on sale each day when the show began and sold through each day, I believe, probably within an hour.
While we're talking about traditions, probably a good time to mention some of the other traditions about the show and some of those that didn't happen. In the last episode, we were looking forward to finding out what Inkworks were planning with their promo pack, or they used to do a little sealed cellophane pack of all the various promos for that year's show. They didn't do one this year, did they?
No, they did not.
That doesn't mean to say they didn't have promos, because I understand they did have cards available for some of the upcoming sets. They just didn't do the pack as usual.
That's right. Yeah, they had plenty of promos to hand out. But only one of them, from my understanding, was exclusive to Comic-Con. The rest were either given out at Philly Non-Sport Card Show or other places.
What was the exclusive one, do you know?
This year's exclusive was the Xbox.
Ah, right. So, and that's only going to be available at the show.
That's right, yeah. It was a good time to give that away, because Comic-Con actually happened the same weekend that the movie opened up.
Yeah. Inkworks had a stand as usual, and obviously they were giving away promos, and they were embossing cards, which I think we've mentioned in previous episodes. They have a little embosser on the stand.
Right.
Buy a pack of cards, bring it along, and they'll emboss a card. As a little stop press in the last episode, I did mention the Jennifer Love Hewitt signing that they'd announced in a press release prior to the show, but that actually got cancelled, unfortunately, didn't it?
Yeah, unfortunately, it was a last-minute thing, and from what I understand, she had to pull out for personal reasons. Inkworks was lucky, though. They were able to get a replacement autographer from the show at the last minute, and so they got Jamie Kennedy to sign.
I should say that the show we're talking about, because I can't remember whether we mentioned it, is The Ghost Whisperer.
That's right. And we should also point out that a day or two before his appearance, Inkworks actually announced that they will be doing Ghost Whisperer trading.
Ah, of course. So it tied in very nicely with that. Did they have any other sort of announcements at all? I think you know what we're hinting at here.
No, I actually don't. But they did do a couple of announcements right prior to the show. They announced they'll be doing Twilight.
Harris, you know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a chap in a big blue box.
Yes, yes. We already knew about that set, but we got more details.
Exactly. That's what I'm hinting at.
Yes, 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 yes. The man in the big blue box. We learned that the series is still coming soon.
Hey! I have seen some of your pictures, and they were box and pack mock-ups, weren't they?
That's right. There were a couple of packs that were mocked up in the Inkworks exhibit case, as well as the box, and behind it was a sign that said coming in November, and I believe there was another sign that actually said coming. We learned that both the box and the pack had shown an image of David Tennant and Billy Pike, which was surprising. So, and the packs did say season one and season two on them.
Which makes sense, because, I mean, one of the seasons is only 13 episodes as compared to a typical American TV show of 26 episodes, I suppose, 25, 26 episodes. So I suppose it makes sense to combine the two seasons into one.
Right.
Inkworks did something very similar with The X-Files when they took over the license, just as a play to play catch-up. They did seasons 4, 5, and then they did 6, 7.
And from what I understand, they're doing the same thing with The Ghost Whisperer, too. Well, that first release will be seasons one and two.
Yeah, so it's a good way of catching up, and it means that anybody that's come to the show later can maybe get a look back at what the show was before. Right. You mentioned Twilight. Twilight seems to have been the thing this year. Last year it was Heroes, this year it seems to have been Twilight.
Well, I don't know if I'd go that far, but it was really huge at the show, and I guess we're really learning how big that license is, and Inkworks was pretty smart to snap it up, but it's going to be a huge movie when it comes.
From all the descriptions I've seen of it, it's got a slightly Buffy-esque storyline, hasn't it?
Well, it is about vampires.
And it's based on a best-selling series of books, so I presume if this first film is a success, there could be other films to follow.
Exactly.
So apart from Twilight and Doctor Who, what else did Inkworks have on display?
They were selling a lot of albums and boxes and things like that, and they had cards from some of their upcoming series like Supernatural and Ghost Whisperer and some of the other things that they have coming up, like The Spirit.
What else was getting big promotional attention at the show this year, Harris?
Well, there were probably maybe up to 10 things that were really getting huge publicity there at the show, Twilight being one of them, as was Fringe, which is a new television series from J.J. Abrams. They showed the pilot episode for that twice during the con and had a panel for it. And some of the other things that were big, of course, Heroes was huge again. What I understand, they showed the 3-hour premiere of Heroes at the show, or at least part of it anyway.
Joss Whedon was wandering around at some point.
Yeah, he was wandering around promoting Dollhouse, which is his new show that's coming on in the fall. And I believe he had some cast members there as well.
And I believe there was a sizable British contingent there as well, or honorary British contingent.
Well, this was the first year for BBC America to have their own booth at the show, so that was great to have them there, and they were really pushing Doctor Who, of course, and Torchwood, Spaced, and Primeval.
I know British listeners to this podcast might be slightly surprised at hearing those last two named shows, because Spaced over here was a Channel 4 show, and Primeval was an ITV show that was a direct competitor to Doctor Who. But obviously BBC America has those on its channel in America, so it makes logical sense that they would promote those.
Yeah, I hadn't realized the implications of that.
Now, my understanding is that Torchwood is, if anything, bigger in America than Doctor Who. So was there much coverage of Torchwood while you were there?
I don't know if it's bigger than Doctor Who, but BBC America is always touting that it's their biggest series. There was a lot of Torchwood coverage this year. They actually had brought three of the actors over to be on the panel, which was great. They had Captain Jack was there, and the gentleman who plays Yanto was there, as was the actress who plays Tosh.
Presumably they were talking about past series rather than upcoming shows.
Yeah. Anytime anyone was asked about the direction of either Doctor Who or Torchwood, you were shot down immediately. They were not telling you anything about what's coming up on those shows. It was just not fair game there. But of course, you know, with Tosh, I guess I'm not giving away anything, but with Tosh being dead on the show, of course, that was something that was asked of her a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's sci-fi, you never know if she'll come back.
Of course, seeing as you mentioned Doctor Who, I mean, there weren't any actual doctors in attendance, but the next best thing, or one better, in fact, was there. Stephen Moffat, who's the new head honcho of the show, isn't he?
That's right.
He was there.
He was there. He was. He did a press panel, and he did a panel for the fans there as well. I was lucky enough to get to both of them. It was great. And also, Julie Gardner was there as well.
She's one of the other executive producers, of course.
And she was representing both properties, Torchwood and Doctor.
Anything they let slip, or were they being guarded about?
Very, very guarded. Amazingly guarded, I guess, would be a better description.
Were BBC America doing anything in the way of giveaways, or was it literally just a promotional stand? That was about it.
Well, it was mainly a promotional stand. They had a lot of items for sale, all Doctor Who. They were selling sonic screwdrivers and actioners, all kinds of things like that. They gave away postcards for the four shows that I mentioned. Maybe one or two other small things that they gave away during the weekend, but for the most part, it was mostly about just having the presence there and sales of the Doctor Who-related items.
So, seeing as we're talking about giveaways and promos again, we seem to have worked our way back round to giveaways and promos. What sort of stuff did you find everywhere?
Well, there were all kinds of cards there. I mean, obviously, we talked about a lot of the different properties, but at the top stand, for example, they were giving away Star Wars Galaxy cards, which I believe might be the first place those were given away. They were also giving away Indiana Jones Masterpieces promos, which, again, might be the first time that those have gotten out. They had announced a new property in Terminator Salvation, which is the
next... Oh, that's the new film, is it?
Yeah, they had announced that they have the license for that, and they were giving away a promo for that.
Tops have?
Yes, Tops.
Because it was that Comic Images or Artbox had it previously? I can't remember. I know
think
one
the
of
answer to that might be both, but yeah.
Yes.
Terminator license is one that has really jumped around a lot. Even Skybox had a Terminator license too at one point. And actually, Tops, I believe, has done a Terminator product before, so this is not their first time.
Was there anything unusual being given away this year?
The Sci-Fi Channel is probably one of the bigger companies that gives away things. If you walk by their booth at any given time, you might find anything. They had all kinds of different things. They were giving away tins of Eureka Smarties, which is a candy, which from my understanding has a different meaning in Great Britain than it does here.
No, we have Smarties.
Somebody told me that Smarties candy are different in Great Britain. And so they were giving away tins of Eureka Smarties, as I said. They actually had an ice cream truck for Eureka that was giving away free ice cream outside the building. I found the truck, but I never got my free ice cream. What else was being given away? They gave away bags for Battlestar Galactica that said Big Frackin' Bag on them. And they were huge bags. Actually, huge bags was sort of a theme this year. There were several companies giving away bags that were larger than small children.
You could put small children in them.
Exactly. I think Warner Brothers came up with that idea maybe last year, and this year several of the companies jumped on that. So there were several bags handed out. Lord of the Rings playing cards given out at one booth.
Let's concentrate on the cards. Because obviously, I'd like to get mentioning some of the odd stuff, but you mentioned Lord of the Rings playing cards. What other stuff was there?
Well, we mentioned the exclusive X-Files card that Inkworks had. Artbox had 24 cards that they were giving out for both the series that has just shipped and then a new series of 24 as well. And they were also giving away Harry Potter cards. They were giving away cards for World of Harry Potter Series 2, and they were also selling a preview set for the new Harry Potter movie. It was a 9 or 12 card set, sorry, that I don't know, but it was a 9 or 12 card set that was packaged in a black box that was really pretty nice for $15, I believe, they were selling from their booth. And I believe they were not selling those until Friday, and they had 1,000 for sale.
So you had to be in the right place to get those,
exactly.
Otherwise, or the right time to get those. Obviously, we talked about Inkworks, and we talked about Tops, and we've talked about Artbox. What other cards were being given away?
Well, there were lots of odds and ends this year, as there have been in the last couple of years. Besides the obvious trading card companies, if you went to Disney, for example, they were giving away Nightmare Before Christmas cards. Apparently, there were 6 cards to be gotten, but I only found 5 of them. Activision, for another example, was giving away a Spider-Man lenticular card, which was very nice. 2 of the media companies there had cards for The Spirit and for Twilight. These were not Inkworks cards. These were cards that were given away by the movie company themselves. The Spirit one was really popular. They were hard to get, and it was a really nice presentation, and they were really sought after. In addition to those, there was also a couple different Benchwarmer promos that you could get. There was one of the distributors that had a couple of exclusive Benchwarmer cards, and they also had some of the models. Those were free, and then another stand had a 4-card set that they were actually charging, also Benchwarmer. And there were also some Monster vs. Alien trading cards being given away by DreamWorks. So there were just a lot of odds and ends.
So it seems cards seem to have been picked up by some of the movie and TV companies as a promotional giveaway again. Because they seem to go quiet on those for a while there, didn't they?
Yeah, but they're definitely doing them again.
Anything unusual? In previous years, we've had plastic cards. Anything like that this year?
Oh, there were some plastic cards again this year. There were several iTunes download cards available. I thought that was sort of a trend this year, but I think we saw some of those in last year too, but there were several stands giving away iTunes downloads. Mm-hmm. There were a lot of bookmarks this year.
Moving on slightly from the cards, in previous years, it seems that some companies have been trying to outdo themselves with the size and splendidness of their stands. What was the most noticeable stands this year for sheer scale and presentation value?
Well, of course, again, this year there were some huge stands. Some of them were the same as last year, but Disney had a huge stand this year. Sci-Fi, of course, always brings in their stand, which has been the same the last few years, but it is quite impressive. Mm-hmm. Warner Brothers had a great stand this year. Lionsgate had a really good stand.
Now, I know you visited the Lionsgate stand at one point, didn't you?
Yeah, they were really, really promoting the spirit, and they had some buxom women there giving out kisses.
And there is photographic evidence of this because you were the recipient of one of those kisses, I think, right?
Exactly, but unfortunately they were temporary tattoo kisses.
Oh, right, so the little water transfer type things.
Exactly. Would have been a lot faster if they were real kisses.
Well, of course, but I'm sure there's health and safety reasons why they can't.
Exactly.
So they had the usual, they had big stands. But, I mean, obviously there's a credit crunch going on and there's a bit of an economic downturn. Did you notice many signs of that affecting exhibitors this year?
No, I really didn't. I think people had their plans set before this really hit. Next year should be interesting to see what happens, but for the time, it didn't seem to be any evidence of that this year.
Right. So there was much the same sort of attendance. How was the attendance? I mean, was it crowded? Were there lots of people there?
Yes, it was packed. I think, I don't know if they've announced the numbers yet, but I'm sure it will be the same or higher than last year at well over 125,000 people.
Mm-hmm. So it's a big show. I know there was a lot of coverage on various of the TV channels, and the websites have been doing a lot of coverage of
right.
this, obviously. You saw evidence of this. There were TV crews all over the place, I'm guessing.
Yeah, there were. Of course, G4 has been a mainstay here in the States. I don't know if you get that over there.
Don't think so.
It's a gaming channel, and they usually broadcast from the show, and they have a booth. They actually broadcast right from the show. Spike TV were broadcasting too, or at least filming shows to be broadcast. And there are just tons of news outlets there.
Was it much coverage in the way of artists this year?
Yeah, the Artist Alley actually was expanded this year, and there were many more rows of artists this year than in past years. Mm-hmm. Several of them were sketch card artists.
Anyone you can remember at the moment?
Well, Cynthia Cummins was there. Otis Frampton was there this year. Cat Staggs was there.
So quite a few of the fan favorites, certainly.
Right, yep.
So in addition to the Artist Alley, and as we mentioned earlier, there's celebrities there. Who else did you see on your way around the show?
Well, most of the people that I saw were not huge stars. I know there were a lot of huge stars there, but I did happen to spot Josh Whedon, as you said. I spotted a member of Anthrax, the rock band Anthrax, was there. I think he was promoting a bobblehead that companies had put out.
An Anthrax bobblehead.
Yeah.
No, I happen to know that your mum, Roxanne Toza, collects bobbleheads, so did you get one for her?
No, I did not. I did not. I'm in trouble.
Indeed. Okay, so who else did you see? Name names. Go on. Do some name dropping. I'll see if I can find an appropriate sound effect.
I did see the two stars of Harold and Kumar. I'm not sure if you're familiar with that.
Oh, yes. They've got a new film, haven't they? Is it Harold and Kumar Go to Guantanamo Bay or something, isn't it?
Right. Yeah, they were there promoting. I believe they were there promoting the DVD, and they were actually up on a platform, and people were yelling and screaming for them. They were quite popular.
So we've already touched upon the subject of panels, but I'd like to go into a bit more depth on those if I can. You were able to get to a few of them. Which ones did you actually get into?
Well, I actually only did get into a few. I went to the Doctor Who panel. And I went to the Torchwood panel.
Were they the public panels or the press panels, or did you get to both, or what happened with those?
Yeah, I did make it to both of those, both the press panels and the public panels. And actually, to plug in at you again, here we go. We'll have some more coverage of the press panel in an upcoming NSU.
See, he's just thinking of NSU all the time. Didn't record anything for Carl Castle. He just kept it all for himself.
No, I do hope to get you some content for the Cardcast website.
We're in negotiations, punters. So if you watch this space, there may be some San Diego exclusive stuff for the Cardcast on the Cardcast website. And if that works out, then I'll be posting links on there as soon as I can. Did you manage to get to any of the other panels?
The only other panel that I saw, and this was only because someone, a friend, really wanted to go, and I just was up to have a seat, was the panel for Hamlet 2, of all things.
Hamlet 2.
Yes, that was a comedy that's coming out starring Steve Coogan.
This is the first I've heard of that. It's some sort of comedy sequel to Hamlet?
It's a fictitious sequel that the star of the movie, or the character in the movie, has written a sequel to Hamlet too, and is bringing this production to light in the movie.
Right. That could be interesting, seeing as from my admittedly somewhat sketchy knowledge of Shakespearean plays, pretty much everybody dies at the end of Hamlet. So.
Funny that you say that, because that's pretty much an actual line from the movie. But Steve Coogan's character obviously has a way of getting around that. By the way, this is the movie with the song Rock Me Sexy Jesus.
Oh, dear. There's a certain target market they're not aiming for, I suspect.
Yeah, go look at iTunes. It's available for download now.
I may well have a look at that one. It's interesting timing because, of course, right at the moment, David Tennant from Doctor Who is playing Hamlet in the real Shakespearean.
Exactly, version,
so
yeah.
We are along with Patrick Stewart, so.
This is one of those movies that will either be really funny or really bad.
We've seen a few examples of that recently, so.
Yeah. On the subject of panels, though, I should say that just because that's the only other one I got to, there were many, many, many. They probably had 5 or 6 panels going on every hour throughout the whole show. So there were tons of other panels.
Must make it an absolute nightmare to schedule if you want to go and see, say, Hugh Jackman talking at one panel and you want to go and see John Barrowman and some of the Torchwood people.
You really have to have your schedule worked out in advance. You have to check to make sure that these things are running on time and that they haven't gotten canceled. Mm. And getting into them, you might wait an hour to get into them. You might not get into them at all. Sometimes you have to go to the panel directly before it to be able to get into it. It's a whole operation getting into these things.
So those things, are they done on a ticket basis, or can you just turn up at the door and get in?
No, you don't need a ticket for those. You just turn up and get in. But as I said,
and with the bigger name ones, you're going to have to really fight to get in, I suppose.
Exactly. Yeah. And some of the halls that they have these in are just enormous. I mean, we're talking, you know, a hall that fits 6,000 people or things like that.
What possibly hasn't come across in previous discussions about San Diego is it's not one big hall. It's a whole conference center with lots of different venues that things are held in, isn't it?
Well, yeah, it is. The exhibit hall itself is actually one big, great hall. Upstairs is where the panels take place, and those are in many different rooms. There's other areas upstairs where they're holding press panels. There's areas where they have a freebie table that is as big as other shows are itself. It's amazing, the freebie area. And what? There's actually a line for the freebie area. You have to wait in line to get your freebies.
That doesn't surprise me. I know I've seen similar lines at shows over here where on those rare occasions where someone, a big stand, is giving away something, you have people forming an orderly queue to get them.
Now, I should point out that this freebie area, all these things that we've talked about, these Topps cards and Inkworks cards, those are given out at the Inkworks stand or the Topps stand. This freebie area is just other things that are be giving away, like postcards and flyers and all kinds of things. Occasionally, there'll be a few odds and ends cards up there, but for the most part, these are just like flyers and postcards and all kinds of things.
Right, so it's not necessarily stuff from exhibitors. This is stuff that people who want to promote but maybe haven't taken
out
of hand.
Exactly.
So they shove in a few flyers, which is something that I've done with the podcast, or tried to do with the podcast at a couple of shows, but with varying degrees of success. As I said, we're on a negative budget. We can't afford to rent tables. So we just print off a flyer and bung them out. And I assume that's the same sort of thing going on there.
Exactly. They'll give away anything that is sent into them. They have employees that's all they do is just unpack stuff and put it on the tables to set out for people.
So overall, Harris, what was your opinion of the show? Better than previous years? Worse than previous years? Same as, or what?
I hate to say same as, but San Diego is such a great show that it's always a great time. Mm. At Comic-Con, and it was another really, really good year this year. I had a blast.
Yeah. As far as you could see, the economic situation in America and in the rest of the world doesn't seem to have bitten yet.
As I said, I do think that a lot of the companies had their promotional budget set before things really took a downturn this year, and I think the same goes for the collectors. I think a lot of people had their plans set up before things took a turn, so I think they were just trying to make the best of it and going through with their plans. Yeah. So in that respect, things seemed almost recession-proof this year.
Yeah, we'll see next year is going to be a different issue. Whether we've hit the recovery by the time San Diego comes around again, or whether it's got worse, it very much depends. Yeah,
right.
I know a lot of people use San Diego as their vacation. They book a couple of weeks and they travel early and they do some sightseeing and then they do the show and that's their main vacation for the year.
Right.
Marks out of 10 for this one?
I'd have to say a 10.
Oh, well, there you go. And you'll presumably definitely be going to another one next year.
I hope so. It really is great. We have a great time out there. We hope to do another Card Talk breakfast next year and hope to be back there and hope all the same companies are there and maybe a few more. It really is a great show. I know I'm always on here touting it, but it's just something that I can't imagine anybody not liking, and everybody should be lucky enough to get the opportunity to go at least once. The only way I would say that somebody wouldn't like it is if they don't like crowds, but other than that, it's just a lot of fun for everyone.
That's the San Diego show. Now, I know we did talk about the next issue of Non-Sport Update in the last one, so I won't go into too much detail. So that's out now, isn't it?
Yes, exactly. We have that out. We're now working on the one that'll be out in September.
Any advance on that one, or is it too early to say?
Well, we know a little bit about it. It does have a Fantastic Four cover from the new Rittenhouse Archives Fantastic Four Archive Trading Card Series, and we'll be covering all the latest and great. Don't ask me now what that is, but we'll know soon enough.
Okay. Now, if anybody wants to get hold of one of the few remaining copies of the Marvel Masterpieces variant issue, if they go to nonsportupdate.com and click on the online store link, you've got it there, have you?
That's exactly right. Or if they go to our homepage at nonsportupdate.com and click on the variant issue, they'll find a page just for the variant issue as well.
Are you restricting numbers on that one, or you still got enough to be able to cope with reasonable demand?
No, we haven't been restricting numbers, so order away.
The variant issues are usually going for a little bit more than regular issues, aren't they?
Yeah, just a little, as you said. You do get the exclusive Marvel Masterpieces card that's not available anywhere else, so it's worth a little
exactly.
more.
Exactly, and if you don't already subscribe, you can take the opportunity to sign up for a subscription as well.
That's right. Thank you for the plug.
Hey, you know, you went to the show and struggled through all of those buxom women on the Lionsgate stand. I feel it's only fair to plug the thing for you.
That's right.
Okay. Harris, once again, an absolute pleasure talking to you. We're going to have a bit of a gap between now and the next episode because this one came rather hot on the heels on the last episode. Thank you once again for coming on to this one.
No problem. Thanks again for having
me. Okay. And I'll speak to you again for the next episode.
Looking forward to it.
Okay. I've been speaking to Harris Tozer, who's the production manager of Non-Sport Update magazine, and you can get more information about the magazine at their website, which is nonsportupdate.com. Well, that was Harris Tozer, and this is the end of the episode. If you were at the San Diego Comic-Con and you saw something that Harris missed, please get in touch. Our email address is ukcarcast@googlemail.com. That's ukcarcast@googlemail.com. I'm also planning to set up a gallery of the items that Harris and I discussed. The next episode will be sometime around about the middle of October, so watch this space. UK Carcast is recorded using a Logitech USB headset and Pamela for Skype on a Windows XP PC. It's edited using Audacity and compiled using GarageBand on an Apple Mac G4. MP3 storage is courtesy of the Internet Archive at archive.org. The Cardcast website is hosted by Google Pages. The Cardcast email address is hosted by Gmail. Domain name hosting by 1&1. Other website services provided by Amen World. The music, as ever, is by Sapphire Moon. UK Cardcast is released under a Creative Commons license. For full details of the Creative Commons license, please visit the website at www.cardcast.co.uk. That's it for episode 11. Goodbye. Oh, and remember, one pack is not enough. Even if it's given to you by a buxom woman in a leopard skin bikini.